WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Eddie Gorodetsky wants to keep people laughing around the clock. He's the head writer for HBO's new comedy channel. HBO launched the 24-hour, 365-days-a-year channel in November. Right now, the format consists of hosts, or comedy jocks, introducing comic film and TV clips in a style that's not very different from MTV. Gorodetsky comes to HBO from stints as a writer on such top TV comedy shows as SCTV, Saturday Night Live, and Late Night with David Letterman. But he's never been a head writer, so I asked him what he does.
It's mostly a figurehead title. It's I try to work with each of the shows. I work with all the writers and try to... Well, one way I describe it is each show has kind of a fiefdom, a kind of a task force. There's the talent, there's the producer, and there's a writer on each show, or writers in some cases. And each show kind of operates independently, and it can get kind of a tunnel vision. I try to be a unifying force, so there's a continuity of the whole channel, and it bubbles up in slightly different ways in each show.
Are you getting immune to comedy? Being around all these auditioning comics and having to, you know, work on a 24-hour-a-day, 365-day-a-year comedy channel.
Well, even if I'm not immune to comedy, there are serums now that can help treat it. immune to comedy, yeah. I mean, what I'm immune to, I think, is more the pat attitude towards comedy. I wonder sometimes if stand-up comics think we all fly as much as they do, and so they tell jokes about airports as much. I mean, like, a lot of people... when they go to an airport, it's kind of exciting because they're going somewhere. It's a trip, you know. But like, you know, it's like, you ever notice in an airport the way the luggage? Well, no, I never noticed that because I'm getting ready to go to Hawaii, you know. So one thing I'm really comedy to me is, and boy, I sound like a pontificating fool here. To me, it's art. No, to me, it's like a lot of it's surprise. You know, it's like hit me over the head. You know, open my eyes, make me look at something a way I never looked at it before, and. If that's the definition, one of the definitions I'm using, you can never get immune to surprise. So, you know, make me laugh. I love it. I there's nothing I like. I might not be an easy laugh, but there's nothing I like more than being able to laugh.
When you were younger and in school, were you funny then? No, what was... Well, were you?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I was just talking about this with someone in the cab on the way over. It was easier to be funny there because, you know, you were the wise guy in the back of the classroom with bad study habits who, you know, the teacher's been talking about algebra for 40 minutes and you have to say something that's only halfway funny and the class just loves you and you get this adulation. Here it's like, you know, when you go to a party and says, well, this is my friend Eddie. He's the funniest person I've ever met. There's nothing you can do because they're expecting it. It's like, all right, wise guy, make me laugh. I think it's easier to be funny when you're younger.
Is it easy to be funny when you're heading up a comedy channel and you have this burden of making sure that there's lots of funny stuff around every day?
Well, it's like the myth of Sisyphus. You're always rolling a rock uphill. I think the way, you know, personally, I don't want to be in people's face and be funny 24 hours a day, which is a funny thing to say from a comedy channel. But I think part of it is also telling people about comedy, showing people like, you know, I want to show people old Bob and Ray clips. I want to show them new experimental stuff that they otherwise wouldn't be exposed to. A lot of it isn't like, hey, I'm in your face, here's a joke. A lot of it is just pulling someone's coat and say, here's something you might not know about that I think is interesting. Why don't you take a look at this? So it's daunting and it's scary, but a lot of it is it feels great to be able to turn people on to stuff.
I've heard that you don't like stand-up comedy.
Good stand-up comedy I love, and I love it as a spice. I love stand-up comedy, you know, like on the Ed Sullivan Show where you'd see, you know, juggling dwarves followed by a Russian marching band, then Buck Owens would come on, and there'd be a stand-up guy, and there'd be a guy spinning plates. It's great as a spice, you know, but what happens is it's now any guy who can remember the entire Brady Bunch theme feels he has 8 minutes, And, you know, of course we're going to, you know, people think, you know, oh, I have this prejudice against stand-up and we're not going to have stand-up on the Comedy Channel, but that's ridiculous. It's like saying we're the Weather Channel, but we're not going to give you temperatures because you can get those anywhere else. Of course, there's a place for stand-up, and I think what I'd like to do is showcase stand-up so it's not like this blur when you go across the cable and you look at and it's every channel is a guy in front of a microphone, you know, and a brick wall in the background, and the other channels are all Stevie Nicks. I think that, you know, it's kind of diluted the whole thing because there's just too many places. It doesn't feel special anymore. It used to feel great when you'd, you know, there's something a little subversive about seeing a good stand-up on the Ed Sullivan Show, like I said before, because, you know, a good stand-up will prick the balloon of belief sometimes, you know? It'll just like kind of say, you know how you always thought that? Well, maybe it's this way. Maybe it's that way. And now it becomes so dilute that there isn't that kind of power behind stand-up. And I'd like to kind of try to bring that back.
There was an article about you in 7 Days magazine in New York.
And there'll be a written
magazine.
Apology for that.
And you said that your credo was, if you're good-looking enough to get sex in high school just by your looks, you have no right trying to be funny. Now, my question is, all of the men and the one woman I saw as hosts on the Comedy Channel, they're all pretty good-looking.
Really? I'm going to tell them you said that and they're going
no,
to
no,
be so...
No, but do you know what I mean? They're all pretty conventionally attractive.
Well, let me just say, I probably good-looking is a metaphor. And for security, and I was being glib when I talked about, you know, getting sex by being attractive, and you were paraphrasing there.
Yes, I was.
but I'll hold by that statement. I think that, you know, if you felt like you were always going to get chosen last for the sports team, or you were going to be the class loser or whatever, and suddenly you found out people would talk to you because you can make them laugh, that's a whole lot different than the guy. It comes from a whole different place. Than the guy who's cocky or the girl who's the first chosen for the prom date or whatever, who can, you know, who usually can make you laugh from a position of superiority. There's a whole different edge to it that I find, you know, the comedy that is a defense mechanism just a lot purer somehow. It's not so much that, you know, you're putting icing on a cake or you're looking down at people. You're kind of like scrambling just to make your way in life. And there's something that's like real pure and real hungry about that I like. The answer to the question is yes. You can just edit that whole other part out and we'll have something that makes a semblance of sense.
Now, you worked as a writer both on SCTV and on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, and on Letterman.
And on Letterman, yeah. How did you like writing for other people?
Oh, I love it. I mean, you know, I'm not a performer, though I do play one on television. No, I think It's I always feel dopey talking about like writerly skills or anything, but I think, you know, a big part of being a writer is being an eavesdropper, and, you know, I'm a big loudmouth, and so I can, if I want to be the center of attention at a restaurant or a party, I can do that, but really to write, you know, what you do is you stand in an elevator, you sit in a taxi cab, and you hear little bits of slang you never heard or people talking in rhythms you never picked up before, and you kind of make them your own, you make them part of your life, and the second you become a performer, you lose that, because people always want to know about you, and you become the focus and the center of attention. So I love writing. My whole thing is, the favorite compliment I ever get is, you know, why, gee, I didn't know that was written. Because you should write to be invisible. I mean, like, on the Letterman show, people always thought Dave made all that stuff up on the spot, which is great. That's just what it should feel like. I wrote for Penn and Teller, and you know, no one ever would believe that it wasn't, you know, those guys writing it. Just because, you know, that's the job. You're writing to make it sound like it's coming out of that person's mouth naturally.
I want to get back to something we were talking about before. On the Comedy Channel, nearly everything is short clips. Clips of funny scenes from movies, clips of cartoons. So everything's really short, like in 1 or 2 or 3 minute packages.
Yeah. That's just for now. That's changing. But let me hear your question, and we'll see which way we want to go with it.
Well, I was wondering if you think that it becomes unfulfilling after a while to just see a parade of short things out of the context of the larger whole that they're from.
Boy, that's such a multifaceted question, and I'll answer it in a bunch of different ways, if you don't mind. First, in the voice of Tony Curtis. No, and it goes something like this. Yes. One of the reasons it's unfulfilling is because we're doing something that hasn't been done before, and as such, there isn't really anything created specifically for it. I mean, like a music video has a beginning, middle, and end because it's created specifically for that medium. Here, we're kind of pulling things out of context, and so that, you know, you don't get a clear beginning and a clear out. I think that'll change as people make things more specifically for what we do. The other thing is, everyone in the press, because I think it's a handy flag to wave, gets into this whole long form versus short form argument. And what we really do is we are all short form right this second, because we really wanted to get a 24-hour model that we could get up and on the air and get it to work, because that's a crazy thing to try to do, to create something from nothing and put 24, you know, one day nothing's on the air, the next day something's on 24 hours for the rest of your life, and that's it. We just wanted to get it up and running, and now we're monkeying with it. And always the idea was to break the tradition of what people expected of television. People always expected to be in half-hour bites, 22 minutes for, you know, a sitcom, and then you add commercial, becomes 30. Our feeling was, if you have a great 22 minutes, well, let's make a sitcom. Let's make a 22-minute sitcom. But certain things are great in playing in a minute length. Other things are going to be great over the course of 5 hours. One of the things I loved about radio was you could do a thing where you set it up in the first hour and it doesn't play out for a couple of hours. And it's a whole different curve. It's a whole different rhythm. And for instance, Penn and Teller have an idea for a 2-minute TV show that wouldn't work as a 30-minute TV show. So we're working with them and trying to develop it. Michael O'Donoghue has a great idea for a half-hour TV show, so we're trying to negotiate with him, see if we can make that work. It's not the long form versus short form. We're saying that there's a million different ways you can use time and use television. Let's look at them. Let's examine them. Let's see what we can find. Let's find something new and different.
Well, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Well, Terry, thank you for having me.
Eddie Gorodetsky is the head writer for HBO's new comedy channel.